Thank you for coming to the gospel meeting this evening on behalf of the Christians who meet regularly here. I'm not one of those. Neither is James, who's going to follow me. We're from Charlottetown, but we're glad to be here. On behalf of the Christians that do meet here regularly, I can tell you that we and they are very happy to see each one, and we trust that what is said tonight is going to be for your blessing. I ask for your attention. I don't usually promote movies from the platform. There's a movie that has come out recently. I can't tell you much about its content. I can't say that I agree with what it teaches. I really don't know much about it, but I do know just a little bit about it. It's called King of Kings. It's a cartoon. It's about the story that we find in the Gospels about the Lord Jesus, about his death, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It tells about him as the King of Kings. And it's told from the perspective of this father who's telling his son the story about Jesus. And as he's going through the story, he becomes immersed in the story so that he actually finds himself at those scenes and he's following along, not just listening, but he actually finds himself at the scene watching as Jesus goes through all the different events of his life. That's kind of the purpose of what God has for you tonight. He doesn't want you to just sit here as a listener. He wants you to be an active listener. It doesn't mean we want you to call out and answer us when we ask you questions. We love you to answer them in your mind, but we do want you to be actively listening. Please pay attention to what we have to say, not because James or I are important ourselves, not because we're great preachers and teachers, but simply because what we are going to tell you is from the Word of God, and God has a message for you tonight. Doesn't matter what seat you're in, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what's behind you in life, God has a message for you tonight. God has a message for me tonight. God has a message for James tonight. And we want to make sure that you hear what God has to say. There's many people in this hall who are saved, and he still has a message for us through the preaching of the gospel. Wonderful. If you're not saved tonight, there's a message that he wants you to hear. So please pay attention to what we have to say. Before we read from the scriptures, we're going to take time to pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus. We are thankful that we have a Savior. We pray that the words that we speak in the next few moments are going to be that which draws the heart and the mind to attention. It draws it towards the Lord Jesus. We understand his own words that he said that if he was lifted up, which he was, and he was lifted up from the earth, he was lifted up on that cross, that he would draw all men unto himself. Tonight is an opportunity for them to be drawn through the gospel. In your mercy, we pray that they would be drawn to the person of the Lord Jesus. Draw out our hearts. Help us to pay attention. Help us to focus on the voice that comes from thee alone. Blot out my voice and James's voice, and so that it's your voice that's heard, we do ask. We look to thee for blessing, and we do ask it in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to turn, first of all, to the book of Colossians. Colossians is in the New Testament. And if you're looking at my Bible, this is about where it's found, so you have about this much of your Bible behind you if you're looking for a place to find. And you're going to find the book of Acts, and then you might find the Gospels that have the red letters. Maybe you have red letters in your Bible. You're going to have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Galatians, and Ephesians, and Philippians, and then comes Colossians. So we're going to read from Colossians chapter 1. And there's just one statement that I have that I'd like to draw out from this verse. And we have some verses that are speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, through the Lord Jesus, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, this is what I want you to pay attention to, this is what I'm going to focus on from this section, that in all things he, this is the Lord Jesus, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He might be given that high place, that place of most importance. Preeminence, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Over to Ephesians chapter 2. So just back two books. Colossians, before Colossians is Philippians, and then before Philippians is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace, focus, for by grace, something that's not earned, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And back to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. So those first books in the New Testament, those ones where you saw the red letters, Matthew chapter 22. And I'm not sure, I know there are a few here from Charlottetown, and I don't know who was present, but I think I did speak on this in Charlottetown recently. If I have some repeated statements, please forgive me for that. But I've been enjoying this parable from Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 1, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's this parable that I'd just like to share a few thoughts about with you this evening as it relates to the gospel, as it relates to us, as it relates to our standing before God. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. This parable is the kingdom of heaven is like unto. It's like a marriage feast that was set. A king had a marriage feast for his son. And sometimes I think that we get the wrong idea and we put ourselves in a place of importance. We think we look at ourselves and we could look into the Old Testament. We find in the Old Testament that God was dealing with the nation of Israel. That's who he was reaching out to. He gave them prophets. He gave them temples. He gave them a tabernacle. He gave them a whole lot that other nations didn't have. And the nation of Israel, you know what happened. The nation of Israel said, we don't want this man to rule over us. They refused him and they had him crucified by the hands of the Romans. They rejected their Messiah. He had come to save them. And they didn't want him. And so as a result of that rejection, God turns out and starts to deal in a new way, this age that we're in now, with this gospel message, and it's going out to all the nations, everybody. It's no longer a nation that is being offered to be saved. It's individuals that are being saved. One by one, people are being saved. And it's not just isolated to the Jews, not just isolated to the nation of Israel. It's for the whole world. And we could look at ourselves and say, well, here we are, and God is dealing with us, and he's trying to reach out to us, those of us that are Gentiles, and he's trying to save us. Well, there must be something very special about us. And God in his word says, no, don't boast. There's no room for boasting. Because the only reason that you are where you are, the only reason that God is dealing with Gentiles right now, is because he is trying to provoke the nation to jealousy. He's trying to provoke Israel to jealousy. There's a purpose of why he's dealing with us. It's wonderful how kind God is, that in trying to provoke the nation to jealousy, he is reaching out and offering salvation to us. That's great. I'm glad that I'm a benefactor of that. I'm glad there's many people here who have been able to take advantage of the offer that God has given in salvation. But something that seems to be inherent in the heart of man, because I shared with the kids this morning, our hearts are full of sin. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we sin. It's because our hearts are full of it. And it's a never-ending fountain. It just keeps flowing. And because our hearts are full of sin, one of the things that I find is that boasting comes naturally, doesn't it? Thinking a lot about ourselves, it does seem to come naturally. This is what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved by grace. We are saved through faith. There's nothing in anybody in this room, not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, not because of the kindness that you've showed to your neighbor. That is wonderful if you've been kind to your neighbor. But your kindness to your neighbor, your obedience to your parents, your keeping of the laws, your attendance at church, your prayers and your reading, none of that accomplishes anything when it comes to earning God's salvation. By grace, a person is saved. There is no room for boasting. When all of time is done and there's an innumerable multitude of people who are going to be standing accepted before God in heaven because of the work of the Lord Jesus, there's not going to be one person there who is able to boast. Not a single person. No one is going to be able to look back at their life and say, because of this, I was saved. Because of this thing that I did, I was saved. Because of this thing that I accomplished, because of the family that I was born into, because of the place that I lived, nobody is going to be able to boast. Because God has designed a salvation. God has designed a program of salvation where there is only one person who is going to be on display. There's one person who he has designed this whole program of redemption. And he's designed it all around his son, the Lord Jesus. And when time is over, and all of us that are saved are standing in heaven, there's not going to be one boast except of the person of the Lord Jesus. We are going to boast, but it won't be about ourselves. We will be boasting about the work that the Lord Jesus did to save our souls. That's the only boasting that will be done. Nobody is going to be there claiming they've done some work in order to achieve or to earn salvation or even to earn God's favor, because it's by grace we're saved. We cannot find anything in ourselves to earn a place before God. We can't find anything in our hearts that we can bring to God and say, isn't this just a little bit good for you? Isn't there something just a little? You take a drawing, you have a small child, and you have a small child that does a drawing for you. You say, draw me a picture of a car. And they draw a picture of a car. And when they're very small, they show you that car, and they tell you that it's a car, but it's not a car. But you can find some features in it. You can find a few things where maybe you can see a wheel, or maybe you can see the general shape of there's something there that you can say, okay, yeah, I can work with this. I can see there's a little bit of the shape of a car here. But when it comes to goodness in our heart, we bring that to God. We bring our hearts to God. There's nothing in our heart that can be recognized as good because we're full of sin. And so this is why we need to be saved, and this is why there's not going to be any boasting in heaven. Because every person who's saved has come to God the same way, only with one thing to offer. The only thing I can bring to God is my sin. That's how he wants people to come. Those are the people that he has come to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And God's whole program is designed so that when that multitude is gathered in heaven, there's only going to be one person who is praised, only one person who is boasted about. And that's going to be the Lord Jesus, because he is the one who has done all of the work in order to save, all of the work to bring anybody into God's presence, all of the work to please God. God needed to be pleased. Sin had to be answered for, and it was only the Lord Jesus who could do it, and he had to do it all. We can't do part of it. All we can do is accept what God tells us. For by grace are ye saved, the kindness of God, that he saves us, and we can enter into that through faith, not of works. Because if there is anything that we offer, if there's anything that can be counted toward our salvation, we would ruin heaven by spending the never-ending ages telling everybody how wonderful we are. And the only one that we're going to be claiming as wonderful, as worthy, is the Lamb that was slain, the Lord Jesus. He will have the preeminence. And you know that it's not just going to be those that are saved who are going to acknowledge who the Lord Jesus is. People who aren't saved, every one of them is going to bow at the end of time and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And they'll bow their knee in front of him, acknowledge who he is before they're cast away forever. That's the point of this parable. You'll understand as we read through this parable, there was a king and he made a marriage for his son. You read through this parable, you go home and you look at it again as you've remembered what we've read. But as you go through, there was a set of servants that was sent out with this message, invite people to the marriage. Another set of servants was sent out, invite people to the marriage. Another group of servants is sent out, invite people to the marriage. There's nothing special about the servants. They're not the ones who are getting the attention. The first group of people that were invited, they didn't come. He said they weren't worthy. He said, go out again. Invite some others. And they said, no, they made light of it. They were busy. He said, go out into the highways and the byways. Go out and invite. Do you see how, and allow me to say, do you see how unimportant the guests are? It didn't matter who the servants were. It didn't matter who was sitting in the seat. The main thing was, this marriage isn't for the people that are sitting in the seat. It is wonderful for these people that found themselves at that wedding, dressed in the wedding garments, enjoying the wedding feast, being invited by the king. Wonderful that they were able to enjoy those things. That is terrific. But it wasn't about them. It was about the son. And the king said, I have a marriage feast for my son. God is going to fill his house. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be one of the ones who's there? A seat will be filled where you could have sat, but are you going to be there? Heaven is going to be filled with people who were born this exact same way as you. Filled with people who have hearts just like mine, full of sin, born the exact same way. Heaven is going to be filled with those. And God's house is going to be filled. And the feast is going to be filled. And the table is going to be filled. But is it going to be you? Are you going to be the one who's there? You'll understand from the parable, all the attention is on the son. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to be there. Heaven is not going to be any less. And please understand the kindness of God. If you doubt the love of God, you just have to look at the cross, because his son died for you. His son. He sent his son to die for you. He doesn't love you. But heaven is not going to be any less for all of the endless ages, for all of the people who are there. for God Himself, for the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is not going to be less of an experience if you decide not to go. But He wants you. Not only does He want you there, but He's made a way that you can be there. Some people try to get in. We read about this man who came into the feast and he decided that he was going to come in, and all of the other guests that were there had on wedding garments. Now, I just want you to picture this in your mind. Here's this wedding feast. If you were to look back at history and see the way these things operated, these wedding feasts were massive. Usually the whole community would come together for these wedding feasts. And one of the things that was the responsibility of the person who was putting on the wedding feast, they would provide the appropriate garment for the wedding feast. So when you walked in the door, you would come in your regular clothing just as you were. Most of these people wouldn't be rich. Most of these people wouldn't have the same finances that this king had, wouldn't have the same wardrobe selection as this king had. And this king would take and he would provide, here comes the farmer in his dirty clothes from the field, and he would be given a wedding garment. Here comes in the banker, and he's given a wedding garment. Here comes in the homeless, and he's given a wedding garment. Here comes the stay-at-home mom, a wedding garment. And everybody who comes in looks exactly the same. They've all come, all very different, but all with their own garments on. And the person who puts on, in this case the king, he provides the garments. We can read in our Bibles where we, those of us who are saved, have been clothed with garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. And you look around this feast, we're looking at this marriage feast, and everybody is dressed the same. But there's one person who's going to stand out. Who's the marriage about? Who's the feast about? What was the invitation for? It was for attention on the Son. And there was one person there who thought that they could come into that wedding feast and they could refuse the garments that the king provided. And they could walk in, and instead of looking like everybody else, they would be the ones that would stand out. And the king comes over, and the man had nothing to say. No defense. And he's cast out. God has a plan of salvation. He wants you there. Garments of salvation He can provide. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. Nothing that you've done. Not of works. No boasting. Nobody standing in heaven taking preeminence away from the Lord Jesus, because He is the one who can save. He is the one who will be praised. He is the one that will be boasted about. Tonight, the Lord Jesus has provided everything. This feast was prepared. Everything was done. God has provided everything for salvation. Your seat, it's right there. The wedding feast hasn't begun yet, but your feast, your place at the table, it's right there. That seat is waiting. Is it going to be you that takes it? Or is somebody else going to sit down? And you're going to try to get in with your own garments. And you're going to try to get in on your own goodness. And you're going to try to get in on your own merit. And you're going to try to get in on your own way. And you're going to find that the king is going to say no. Tonight, salvation can be yours. There's a place for you. There's room for you. You could have read in Luke another parable very similar to this one. Yet there is room. Tonight there's room for you, and you can join that feast, and you can join that multitude, and you can find out why. You know, I didn't understand until the moment that I was saved why it's the Son who gets all the attention. We sang those words, hallelujah, what a Savior. You trust the Lord Jesus and you will be able to spend the rest of your life here and the rest of eternity finding out how great He is. And you will agree 100% that it should be Him and only Him who gets the credit and takes the preeminence. Tonight, will you be saved? Will you take that place that God has provided for you? Salvation is waiting. It's up to you.